our kids get to a place where they're just tired of taking the medication, and they feel like, I'm just so tired of this. I do it every day, and I have to do it for life. And COVID-19 is kind of coming with those kind of projections. We are not very sure about where the vaccines are and when they're going to come, and if they're there, how long is it going to take for them to reach here? And there are lots of myths about the vaccines and all of those kind of things. And all of that just creates a lot of frustration within the minds and the hearts of people around whether, you know, we're going to get out of this, and we're going to get out of it soon, and, you know, sort of get back to our lives. And so it then makes people feel anxious. It increases anxiety. It increases also a sense of sadness and hopelessness when people look at the future and they look at how things are going to go in their lives. And so we can expect that this started in 2019, and by the end of 2020, people were thinking we were turning in another direction and we were getting rid of COVID-19. And in 2021, we've got a serious wave and something that's different, and the second wave and the strand that seems more powerful than the one before. So we can expect that that fatigue, and we can expect that frustration that people are going to sort of have around everything that's associated with COVID-19.
Thank you very much, Auntie Rongai. Now, if you do have any questions, encourage you to be a part of this conversation and go ahead and participate. You can send your questions through to the ZFM Stereo WhatsApp number 0731168045, or you can use the platform that you're viewing this from. If you're viewing, we are live streaming on Facebook, the ZFM Stereo Facebook page, the Jandiri Facebook page, as well as the Ready Movement Facebook page, and not forgetting also the Frontline AIDS Facebook page as well. So go ahead and ask away. And so, you know, speaking of pandemic fatigue, let us also talk about what most people, including young people, are feeling right now, which is frustration. Frustration. Mm. That feeling of defeat, you know, what can one do to be motivated? Because remember, in January, you know, we set all sorts of New Year resolutions. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to study. I'm going to change this. And then we get into this lockdown. How can one stay motivated?
Okay. So it's actually quite important for anybody's mental health to stay motivated and productive. And so I remember when we started this show, you and Lewis were talking about cooking and, you know, getting those recipes out and getting those things and plans that we said, or things that we said we were going to do that we haven't had a chance to do yet. Because we've got an opportunity to do some of those things because of the lockdown. So it's thinking about, you know, the situation that we are in and focusing on the things that we can change rather than the things that we cannot change. COVID-19 has not personally attacked a single individual in the world to say it's attacking, you know, a few people in some corner of the world and, you know, the marginalized children, adolescents and young people living with HIV. It has attacked the whole world. It's affecting the whole world. And because it's affecting the whole world, this is not personal, you know. It's not come to slow you down personally as an individual to say we are targeting you, and we are saying you should not move on with your life, you should not move on with your academics, you should not, do things in the way that you would sort of want to do them. It has affected all of us. And so the first thing is to not look at COVID-19 and what's happening personally, but to take it in, you know, in the global, to have that global view of things that it's affecting everyone. And so if we don't take it personally, then it means that the level of setback that we feel from COVID-19 does not become personal. You know, when something is coming against you personally, you feel like everyone else in the world has it easy and I'm the only one who's been affected by this. And sometimes when we are in our silos, in isolation, and we are alone, we can easily think that this is just about me. It's me who's been delayed. It's me who's struggling to earn a living. It's me who's struggling with all of these other things that we've spoken about that COVID-19 has affected. But it's all of us that's struggling with all of that. And therefore, if it's all of us, then what can we then do as a collective? and even in our small silos to try and to make our lives better. So we then focus on the things that we can change rather than the things that we cannot change.
True.
We can change the activities and the things that we do in within our households. We have a level of control over the things that we do in terms of entertainment, the things that we do in terms of thinking about work, and trying to find other avenues to make a living that's not the way or the traditional ways that we used to do things. I always used to like to talk about a river when it's flowing in a certain direction and then somebody puts a boulder in the way that it sort of used to flow. The river doesn't give up and say, well, I'm just going to sit here and, you know, create a huge puddle or a huge pool in this direction. It sort of finds a new way to start, you know, flowing in another direction. So I would encourage children, adolescents, young people to find new ways of interacting with each other, find new ways of still remaining connected with people, even whilst we're in isolation, find new ways of marketing skills. I remember somebody from Skills to Live saying, I don't have a way of sort of marketing my skills. I would have loved to have been employed now. Is there a way that online, using the platforms that we are using now, you can actually also market your skills, that you can link up with other people that are doing what you were trained for, to try and find other ways and avenues to make a living? So those are some of the things that we can start doing to say, from the place that I am, I'm not focusing on how bad the situation is, but I want to focus on what I can change and what I have control over. And we find that we might not have control over COVID-19, but we have control over a lot more other things within our day-to-day lives, and that will keep us motivated. Also, keeping productive, finding things to do, exercising, are things that will help us to remain motivated in this time where everything can seem quite depressing. Those are some of the things I think that can help.
Thank you very much, Auntie Rongai. You know, when you're saying all of that, you know, I just started to look, think of my home and the things around my home, the things, the many things that we can do. So just look around you, look at your home. You know, maybe you have that little patch where you can start a garden. Maybe there's some cleaning up that you major cleaning up, shifting things around that you needed to do, learn a new language, you know, try to figure out, other things. Like Auntie Wongai was saying there, like other avenues of making money, of course, whilst you are at home. There's so many things. We just need to, be proactive and, the moment you start looking, seeing the positive instead of the negative, you see so many ideas coming up.
It's very true. And looking at the dilemma that the young people have been sharing, you know, the effect of COVID-19, by now I should have finished my course at Skills to Live, you know, the frustration that they have, the effect that COVID-19 and the lockdown brought, and, you know, and also taking into consideration what Antonia has been saying, using what we already have at home and making sure that we keep safe, because we don't want to end up in a position where we do things and we end up being infected by COVID. So we should make sure that we are at home, utilize what we have by all chance. But I know that there is always that one young person who's like, how do I do that? Is there somewhere where I can get help? Is there somewhere where I can just go and maybe talk to someone? Is there anything that I can do just to get motivated? So to you, Auntie, like, where and how can people get other support services, which may include counseling, therapy? Is it in person or through telehealth services, considering our lockdown regulations?
We've got a lot of platforms that our young people can take advantage of, and I think some of them, Lacey, you've already spoken about them. The first one is that our CATS, or Community Adolescent Treatment Supporters, that are in the 52 or 53 districts in Zimbabwe, have access to phones that they are using to reach out to our young people that are living with HIV all over Zimbabwe. And so these are our resources that we can use there that can also support their peers and their beneficiaries, and this is being done online. So we're having WhatsApp calls, WhatsApp group sessions, WhatsApp counseling, and sometimes screening even for mental health to check if people are feeling this frustration and they're feeling stressed and they're feeling demotivated. And so our CATs are there and they're present to support and to help. We've got our U Report platform that you've also mentioned before, where somebody can just send a message, and by sending a message to that platform, you will get another CATs as well, who will be at the end or the back end of that platform, who will reach out to you and support you if you're facing any kind of challenges and frustrations. Again, our Facebook pages, we've been talking about the Frontline AIDS one, the AfriCAID one, all of those are pages that you could actually write to, and when you send a private message in there, we will reach out to you and we'll be able to support you. So there are all of those platforms that are there online that can support our beneficiaries or people that are feeling that they're having challenges coping with this situation, and it's all online.
Thank you very much, Auntie Bongai. And, you know, just to add on to what she said, we also have a lot of people that we went to primary school with. You have people you went to high school with, people in your neighborhood, people you go to church with, people you are in various groups with. Maybe take it upon yourself to create a little community of your own where you share ideas and, you know, where you are uplifting each other. Good morning, how are you doing? And, of course, also sharing all these platforms that Auntie Bongai was talking about.
And thank you so much, Auntie Bongai, for sharing all those platforms that you have indicated where young people can actually get support. And thanks to AfriCAID again for being vigilant and being there for young people during this time. So, you know what, Auntie Peshi, we will keep saying that it is important to bring in children and adolescents in the conversation around issues that affect them. You may think because he or she is underage, so they do not understand the current situation. But the truth of the matter is that children knows, and if you close off all the communication channels because of their age, we are forcing our children to suffer in silence, which worsens also the situation which they are going through, and, you know, going through again issues like mental health, just like what Auntie Bongai was talking about.
Wise words indeed. And if you're just tuning in, this is ZFM Stereo, my station, your station, and this is Zwandiri. And today's episode is supported by the Ready Plus Movement, a program with the broad umbrella of Frontline AIDS. And if you want to learn more about their website, you can go to frontlineaids.org or visit their Facebook and Twitter. And the handle is @FrontlineAIDS. And you can also look up the various social media pages, Ready Plus.